You wanted to spend lots of time with that person. You wanted to go on outings together. You wanted to go on dates. You wanted to talk to them. You wanted to share ideas. You wanted to get to know them. Am I talking to the right group? Do you relate to this at all? Are you with me? Okay, just checking. It was not a problem to talk to them on the phone. You didn't mind taking lots of time to spend with them. And you couldn't wait to see them on your next date or outing or time together, whatever you called it. Time spent with them was not drudgery, was it? Okay. You probably didn't think, oh, I have to go over and spend time with Kathy. You probably didn't think that way, did you? Or fill in the blank for your special person. Rather, you probably thought, I get to spend time with Kathy. Or fill in the blank for that special name of yours. I get to talk to her. I get to take her out. I get to do something fun. It was not drudgery, was it? The correct answer was no. Just playing with you a little bit. It was a delight. You had a relationship and you were working on it. You were getting to know each other and you were cultivating it. You spent time together, you laughed, and you talked, and there was a spark. Yes? So, take that same fondness for spending time together and think about your relationship with the Lord in that way. I have to spend time with Jesus today. Or do you say, I get to spend time with Jesus today? Or I'm looking forward to spending time with Jesus today. I hope that your attitude and my attitude is that I look forward to spending time with the Lord today. Did you write notes to the one you loved? Don't answer that question out loud. Or did you send cards? That was before email for me. When we started dating, we called and our phones were attached to the wall with a long cord. Dating myself. Did you call on the phone? And nowadays you would text or you would email or you would just do a WhatsApp video chat, or who knows what you would do. Did you know that God sent a love note to you and me? It's called the Bible. It's called the Bible. It's filled with all kinds of loving and challenging messages from Him to you and me. Did you stop and think about God's word that way? It's a love note to us from Him, expressing His great love for us. And you and I should read, listen to, think about, memorize, sing, and reflect on the love messages He has sent us, shouldn't we? We should make that a priority in our lives. So more on Mark chapter 12, verse 31. The Greek word for love in Mark 12, 31, agape, as I said, it's a deep, self-giving, unconditional love. It's not based on our feelings or whether we like someone or not. It's a choice we make to seek the good of others, even when it's inconvenient or costly. Jesus emphasized that we should love God first. Then we should love our neighbors in the same way that we love ourselves. And could I just ask someone in the back to get me a bottle of water, just in case I need it this morning? Thank you. So how do I love myself? If I'm told to love my neighbors as myself, how do I love myself without being self-centered or me-focused? Well, start by receiving, thank you, brother. Start by receiving all the love the Lord has for you. Don't stiff arm God. You know what it means to stiff arm someone? You ever played football? Stiff arm somebody to push through to get ahead on the field. Don't stiff arm God. Don't punish yourself or think about how you don't deserve His love. None of us deserves His love. He has extended grace towards us. We are His children, and He loves us deeply. We need to get that into our souls. Another way to love myself is to take care of my body. We can always try to eat a little more healthy. We can always try to get a little more sleep, to get some exercise, to expose ourselves to wholesome movies, music, and internet surfing. Remember, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. We need to take care of the temple. It's God's temple. So give glory to Christ in your body and be a good witness of what a Christian is like. And that's all I'm going to say about that for now, but I'm speaking next week also, so there's more to come. The question I am asking us to consider today is a question of, these are questions I have asked myself. So the Holy Spirit has stepped on my toes and convicted me and shown me areas, and He continues to do that because we have a relationship and ways that I need to change. And there's a chance that you may hear something today that the Holy Spirit may convict you, and your toes may get stepped on today. So I'm an equal opportunity toe stepper, okay? Step on my own, yours might get stepped on. It's just, God does that sometimes through the likes of people like me. But I encourage us to be open to the Holy Spirit's promptings as we talk. So, loving your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to get specific here, folks. If you are married, don't answer this question out loud. What is the state of love in your marriage? Is there romance? Do you live separate lives under the same roof? What does communication look like in your marriage? Do you talk about things together? Big things, little things? Do you listen when your spouse talks? Just asking. I realize, and I hopefully you realize also, that men and women are wired differently. Anybody notice that? Okay, just checking. As the book Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus says it, the way we communicate with each other is different. And the way men communicate with men is different. The way men communicate with women is different, etc. the way women communicate with women, the way women communicate with men. So how do you do the love thing with the Martian or Venusian that you live with? That's the big question, right? And you might have to learn to speak their language a little bit to do the love thing with them. Here's another question. Is there give and take in your marriage? Is it a healthy and respectful back and forth on ideas where you weigh pros and cons before making a decision that affects you jointly? Or is it give and take where he or she gives and I take? Don't answer that question out loud. So my perspective, as someone who's been a pastor and has done years of premarital counseling with couples, during premarital counseling, one of the questions I would ask them was, describe the other person. This is weeks or months before they get married. Okay, describe your fiance, describe your boyfriend, describe your girlfriend. And I heard things like, oh, they're amazing, they're so patient, they're so kind, they're loving, they're beautiful, oh, handsome. That's what I heard, premarital counseling. But then I would get together with those same couples on their first anniversary. And I would say, okay, describe the other person. And I would hear things like, they are selfish. They are grumpy. They are self-centered. I did hear some nice things too. They're kind, they help me, they do nice things. My point is, they're our neighbor too. We need to love them right. Love your spouse right. Love your neighbor as yourself. We need to love right. Well, somebody else who qualifies as our neighbor, parents, is our children. Loving our children right. Now that not only applies to the fifth grade and under who went out the door, it also applies to you if you're sixth grade to 12th grade, it applies to everybody in this room. Showing love as parents for our children. And I did some reading on Susanna Wesley. Have you heard of Susanna Wesley, John Wesley's mother? Lessons from the life of Susanna Wesley for parents. Showing love to our children. Her theology of love profoundly shaped and left a lasting imprint on her son, John Wesley, and his worldview. Did you know that Susanna Wesley endured hardships? She gave birth to 19 children. 10 lived beyond infancy. She had 9 children die in infancy. John and Charles Wesley were 2 of those 10 who survived. She managed a household and maintained her spiritual devotion. She taught John that love must be resilient and self-giving. And here are some principles of love that Susanna Wesley lived by. first principle was intentional presence, which means she dedicated 1 hour weekly to each child for personal guidance and spiritual mentoring. Food for thought. 1 hour to each child per week to 10 children. Discipline as love was another principle she lived by. She believed that loving correction shaped character. And she emphasized obedience and self-control in children. Think about that. Service and sacrifice. She managed her home, taught her children, and led devotions in her home as acts of love and duty. And her husband was a minister. Prayerful care. She prayed daily for her children and others, viewing intercession as a form of love. Respect for the soul was another principle that she followed. She treated each person as they were made in God's image, worthy of attention and spiritual care. So parents, if you have children, no matter how old they are, what can we glean from this? Well, at a minimum, pray for your children. Whatever their age, pray for them, for God to touch their hearts, to give them wisdom, to protect them, to heal them, to strengthen them, that they might make wise decisions, and so on. Pray for your children. Susanna Wesley's quiet strength and unwavering devotion laid the spiritual foundation for the Methodist movement that would touch millions. Her love was expressed in daily discipline, deep faith, and personal attention. We need to love right. So if I'm to love my neighbor as myself, who else qualifies as my neighbor? Well, start with the people you are closest to. And I've talked about some of them already. Your spouse, your family, your children. What about your parents or your siblings or your other family members? I mean, I have to love them too? Yes, please, do love them. And by the way, if you are between the ages of 11 and 18, please listen up. This is for you too. God exhorts you to love your siblings. But Carl, you're asking me to love my younger brother or sister? You're asking me to love my older brother or sister? And adults, I'm saying that to all of us. This doesn't just apply to kids. There may be issues between you and your adult siblings or your parents that are unresolved. They are your neighbor too. You need to ask God for love, His love, to love them. So let me share another something with us. Would you turn to Matthew 7, verse 12, please? See if something sounds familiar to you in this passage. Matthew 7, verse 12. Jesus is speaking and he says, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. You know what that's called? The Golden Rule. Have you heard of that before? Raise your hand if you've heard of the Golden Rule before. Okay. So I'd like for you, I'm going to say it, the first part. I'm going to ask you to repeat it after me. We're going to do a little practice here today with the Golden Rule. Okay? Do to others. Now just a minute, just the first part. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Thank you. Good job. Well, let those be more than just words. Let that get into your heart, my heart, deep down in our hearts. And let the Holy Spirit make that real so that we change the way we treat our siblings, our parents, our neighbors, whoever our neighbor is. Bad habits can be changed. So whether you are 12 or 82, we need to be kind to our family members. Are there issues, grudges, misunderstandings between you and your other family members? Is the Lord nudging you to take the first step and make it right? If there are misunderstandings, we can humble ourselves. We can ask for forgiveness. We can apologize. We can clear the air. We can make amends. By the way, more on our neighbors. Our neighbors also include our friends and our literal neighbors. The person or people who live next door to you, across the street from you, behind you, and if you're working, your co-workers, they qualify as your neighbor also. And the people you don't like qualify as your neighbor. Jesus had something to say about that. Jesus told us to pray for them, to pray for our enemies and those that, you know, he talked to the Pharisees about love and showing love. If we only show love to those that we love, we're missing an opportunity to let the love of God flow through us to those that we don't love. Well, how do I show love to my neighbor? How do I show love to my literal neighbor that lives next door? Well, start by being friendly. Good morning. Wave at them. Say hi. How you doing? Good to see you. Grass is looking good today. I like your fence. Your bushes are really healthy. Or whatever, folks. Small talk. Start out with small talk. Love your neighbors. It may sound silly, but we got to start somewhere. Take an interest. Smile at your neighbors. Say something positive. You know, 1 Peter 1, verse 22, would you turn there with me, please? 1 Peter 1, verse 22. It says, you were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth, so now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. And I believe that's also talking about your neighbor being your brothers and sisters in Christ. in the church, in Christ. Love each other deeply with all your heart. They're your neighbor too. 1 John 3, verse 11 says, "This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another." Did you know that you and I are exhorted 23 times in Scripture to love one another? It sounds like a good Bible study to dig into. If you're looking for a Bible study, you should do one on loving one another. So today we've been focusing on the words of Jesus in Mark 12, verses 30 and 31. "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." I encourage all of us to keep asking ourselves the question, how am I doing at loving right? Am I loving God fully without reservation? And am I loving my neighbors and myself? So I'm asking all of us, as you've been listening to this, perhaps the Holy Spirit is nudging you in an area where you need to get something right. Are there people that you need to talk to? People that you need to clear the air with? People that you need to mend some fences with? Build some bridges that were broken down in relationships? And I'm asking all of us to respond to this. If you would like to come to the front and to kneel and to pray and to get things right with God, you are invited. If you would like to do that in your seat, where you are, in your personal prayer closet, you're invited. But if the Lord has prompted you about someone that you need to get right with, then please respond to Him. And I don't know if the lights are on over there or not, but there is a prayer room across the hall where there are people who have been assigned to be there. It may be a little dark in there this morning, I'm not sure. But that's also a place that you can go to pray and to get prayer if you would like it. Okay, so normally at this time the worship team comes up and we have a closing song. Jeff, come on up. But I'm inviting everyone to be open to the Lord's moving in your heart. Let's close in prayer together, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity to look together at your word, to think more about loving you, about loving our neighbor as ourselves, ways that we can do that, who applies, what it's all about. Lord, give us each grace as we go into this new week to love our families, to love our spouses if we're married, to love our family members, to love our children, to love our co-workers, our neighbors. Give us grace, give us agape love, your unconditional love for them, that we might be salt and light, and that you would have your way, that Jesus Christ would be glorified through us. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.